You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
They don't want to protect your America. Yeah. They want to create an alternative America. It's an America of racial deep inequality and an anti-white, and by the way, anti-Asian basis. It's an America in which transgender dominates Christianity and Judaism. It's an America in which they want to actually pass a bill to create a permanent machine, just like California, Chicago, and New York. And that's not, so when you and I talk about why would they do this for America, it's because they really want a radically different country. And they really, as I just proved with Dr. Seuss, they really despise America.
March 4th, 2021, the words of former GOP House Speaker Newt Gingrich, how the left truly despises America. You want proof? Look at this. House Resolution 1, they really barely got passed through because it didn't go over as big as they were hoping it would, but they got it passed. It's an election reform, they call it. It's actually a way to ruin future election integrity. We spent a lot of time on it yesterday, but it bears, again, a focus today because what's hidden inside of it? And you want proof that they're not really trying to help America? They want to change it? Look at the COVID package. The COVID package, less than 10% of $1.9 trillion, $1.9 trillion, less than 10% actually references and deals with COVID relief. You want another example? I think the Dems are pushing fear of a threat warning in the Capitol. They want Capitol troops to stay there through the end of March, maybe. And right now, things are tightened down in the Capitol because there's apparently a viable threat, according to Department of Homeland Security, Capitol Police, and so forth. Now, why would I question DHS and Capitol Police say they're making up such a threat? Well, because in the past, I have suspicions about how these guys play the game. And now they're in charge. And they need to explain why they still need troops there and have the fences barricades up. So they've given me plenty of reason to question them. What about you? And then you have the Texas and Mississippi governors and other red state governors opening their states, dropping mask mandates. And Biden, the one who calls for unity, calls them Neanderthals. Neanderthals. My answer is it takes one to know one. And his term of Neanderthals certainly reminds us of Hillary when she called Trump supporters deplorables. Again, it takes one to know one. Also coming up in the next 2 hours, Dr. Rick Layman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. The latest on COVID protocol for amateur sports. And there's a lot of concern about the vaccines and reactions. We want to get into that. And we also have the Texas University fight song under attack. The eyes of Texas. It's been under attack for some time. Why? Well, it was put to the lyrics, or put to the tune of, I've been working on the railroad. And the allegation is that that must have been racist. And it is now. As is Dr. Seuss. And all those books being dropped. Let me share something I got from my boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago, Andrew. He's had an epiphany on the Dr. Seuss controversy and everything else that's suddenly bad for our America. And he points out to me in his missive, calling me sir. That kind of caught my attention, Andrew. You call me sir. Just call me commander. I'll be happy with that. Anyway, he says, our law features a statute of limitations, which sets the maximum time after an event within which legal proceedings may be initiated. In general, if I commit a crime, there's a limited amount of time in which I may be tried. Here's a proposal. Why don't we start treating historical figures, writing, artifacts in a similar manner? If we as a society are going to judge or censor someone or something, we must do it within a definitive period of time. If Dr. Seuss is such a scourge on humanity, let society cancel him in a timely fashion. I think I agree with that, Andrew. We have a statute of limitations on every crime except murder. Well, not every crime, but certainly murder is one that's excluded. Would that solve all of this? You think the left would buy it? Ah, that's where we hit the roadblock. They're not going to buy it. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Apparently, there's an intelligence brief out of Biden's Department of Homeland Security saying there's a lot of chatter that's out there. But at the same time, when I talk to security officials, they're not seeing any hotel rooms being filled up. They're not seeing campgrounds being filled up. They're not seeing busloads of hordes of militia groups coming over the horizon. And, you know, I was just looking at a memo that the acting sergeant of arms sent around to all members. It says the U.S. Capitol Police sees no indication that groups are traveling to D.C. to protest or commit acts of violence. Yeah. So it's a bit all over the place, Steve. Meanwhile, you've got groups of National Guardsmen and women standing every 50 feet, yeah, staring at a fence away from their homes and their families and their business. Send them home.
Send them home. Congressman Michael Watts, Republican of Florida, and he is a colonel in the National Guard. He says they're just standing there staring at a fence. He said, and we're getting conflicting information. You heard him say the head of the Capitol Police says, we don't have any word of any threat. But as he pointed out, the Biden Department of Homeland Security is suddenly, oh, we have a threat. We have a threat that could happen today. I have to ask again, as I did yesterday, if they had word of such a threat, would they really put it out as a specific date and everything? Generally, that is not how those are done. I mean, they're on alert. They share information, obviously, but they don't make it to the general public. Unless you just want to scare the hell out of people. Maybe that's what they want to do. And, of course, they're building up on what happened on January 6th. I have told you, I'll continue to tell you, it was wrong. It should not have happened. They might have thought they were being patriots, but they did a great disservice to the rest of us because it was wrong every step of the way. And I also have said repeatedly, it will be used to beat us over the head over and over again. And that's kind of what they're saying. Well, you know, we weren't prepared for January 6th, so we got to be ready now. CNN, here's the way CNN treats this story. Federal law enforcement is on high alert Thursday in the wake of an intelligence bulletin issued earlier this week about a group of violent militia extremists having discussed plans to take control of the U.S. Capitol and remove Democrat lawmakers on or around March 4, a date when some conspiracy theorists believe former President Donald Trump will be returning to the presidency. If there's anybody out there that believes all that that I just read, if you're one of these so-called conspiracy theorists who are thinking and referring to that that's when Trump's going to return to the presidency today, you're Looney Tunes. You're Looney Tunes. No one should be listening to you. But I know, you get a bunch of Looney Tune peoples together and they have weapons. Yeah, they can be a threat. But as you heard Congressman Walt say, I checked with other sources. They're saying no influx of people, no hotel rooms. Of course, they wouldn't have to book in a hotel room. I mean, that's just looking at some of the traffic coming in and out. So that doesn't really confirm necessarily nor deny. But at the same token, there would probably be some other signs. What signs do we have? Just what I read you. In the wake of an intelligence bulletin issued earlier this week about a group of violent militia extremists having discussed plans to take control of the U.S. Capitol and remove Democrat lawmakers on or around March 4. March 4 was the original date that the presidents were inaugurated. Between 1793 and 1933, the inauguration often happened on March 4 or a surrounding date. And there's a good reason. Because normally in January in D.C., it is cold as you know what, and snow and nasty weather. Sometimes I've had great weather, but I mean, it seemed to be better if they moved it to March 4. That's what they were doing. Since then, we've decided to let's move it up to January 6. But what we have here is this joint warning from the Department of Homeland Security, and the FBI is involved. And let me tell you, and I want to make it very clear, I fully support the men and women of the FBI and Department of Homeland Security and their jobs and what they're doing. If they're doing their job, if they're not being a political ploy, if they're not being pawns of the left or what they want to do, and I'm not so sure right now, at the top of each of these departments, that they are reacting as law enforcement or leftist pawns. But, of course, CNN also says, one source noted to CNN, it's mostly online talk and not necessarily an indication anyone is coming to Washington to act on it. You know where that story, that part of the story is, that one line? You know where it is? It's deep down inside the copy. You think they might put that at the top, that a source has told us this is online talk, not necessarily an indication. But federal law enforcement is on high alert anyway. No, they bury it. If such intel, I should say, conferences and online communications were intercepted and heard, that's fine. Be ready. I agree. But I fear, again, that it's just a matter of using these troops and wall when we've been saying move them out, send them home. Well, now they want to extend it. The U.S. Capitol Police now requesting that National Guard troops stay for another 2 months, but at a reduced level. That request is not yet approved, but it underscores there's concern apparently about security and the potential for violence if you believe the storylines going around. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, was asked about the request for the National Guard to stay an extra 2 months. She answered, the issue about the National Guard is one that will be made by the Capitol Police and the police board and the rest. But I'm not in a position to respond to that. We should have them here as long as they are needed. And she rejected the notion that it's part of a leftist conspiracy. She said, I don't think anybody should take any encouragement that because some lawmaker or troublemakers might show up, that we're going to change our whole schedule. We just moved it a few hours. And yeah, they did. They decided to cancel some Thursday votes today. amid this militia threat. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to buy that it's real. Now, of course, if it doesn't happen, I don't want you to say, well, Larry is right. It wasn't. No, that doesn't prove I was right. You're entitled to your opinion. Obviously, if there's a legitimate concern, they need to take proper precautions. They did not on January 6th because they had never seen a MAGA rally, which is what that was starting as, turn into any act of violence. If it's Antifa, yep, they had that. They were always ready for that. But a MAGA rally, they just never had that. And of course, even though many of those who took part in that, it might have been Trump supporters. I'll concede, let's just say all of them were Trump supporters. I don't really believe it, but I'll go ahead and concede that. Makes no difference. The bottom line, whatever they believed in was wrong when they started attacking police and pushing through barricades, running into the halls of Congress, threatening, shouting, stealing, vandalizing. No, that was not right at all. But all of this right now, I have questions. And you have to also keep in mind, trying to take care of the troops we have in there. There have been various sources that have been trying to help them to help prepare food for them and make sure they're taken care of. And then came a report that about 40 or 50 National Guardsmen in one unit got sick. The food was undercooked. That could have been a mistake. I say it could have been a mistake. But others in another group found pieces of metal inside their food. That just doesn't happen by accident, does it? Oh, it could sometimes, but do you question that maybe somebody is tampering with their food? We know by numerous confirmed events that often police officers, if they walk into a place and order food, they have to worry if the food is contaminated or tainted before it's given to them. That is what we've come to in this country. An officer goes to order something and it's delivered and maybe they find something in it or not. But you never know. Now, again, this whole idea of keeping these troops in place, based upon, again, this intel. And they continue to say there are people out there that still believe the election was stolen. Yeah, that's true. There are still people out there that don't believe Biden was properly elected. Count me as one of those. I agree. I don't think he was, but I don't have any proof. And again, let me correct that. I think overall, yes, he was elected properly, but I do believe there was a lot of questionable actions taking place, and I'd like to see some final answers on them. But I move past that. He's the president. Let's move forward and look to 2022. And Democrats are already beginning to fear 2022. We'll explain that as we get through the rest of this hour. But again, back to Congressman Michael Watts, Republican of Florida. And I remind you again, he is a colonel in the National Guard. And he's saying, when I look at these troops and what they're doing, just standing around staring at fences, and we got a Democrat Congress that doesn't believe we need fences along the border, but they want it around the Capitol. A Democrat Congress that does not want border security with troops or anything else, but they want it at the Capitol. Well, here's Congressman Michael Watts again.
After today, send them home, but now there's talk of keeping them here to the State of the Union. Sure. And yet the reporting's out there, the State of the Union may not happen till the fall. So this is about optics, and it's politics at its worst. You know, send those troops home. There's more soldiers sitting right on the Capitol than we have in Afghanistan and Iraq combined. January 6th was horrible. Everybody should be prosecuted that participated. Right. But I'm just not seeing the specific threat that keeps these soldiers here. I've been asking official after official for that briefing, and we're not getting it. Send the troops home. Let's get the appropriate security measures in place and let's move forward.
Now, again, that's a Republican congressman, but I want to emphasize again also he is a National Guard colonel. He knows if these troops are being wasted. He knows if this is just dragging on. If there was something viable, yes, we keep them there. But do we really need that many? But I told you a moment ago, you've already got the Capitol Hill Police requesting the National Guard stay for another 2 months. The Capitol Police, the Sergeant of Arms of the House and so forth, they're all kind of under the thumb, let me put it that way, of political leaders. And Nancy Pelosi, if she thinks she needs to keep them there, then the easiest thing to do is to tell the Capitol Police and the Sergeant of Arms, make sure we have additional protection. Whether or not we need it, just let's do it. It is the optics of protecting the Capitol from Trump people, the deplorables, as Hillary said, Neanderthals, as Biden has called them. Well, those two terms remind me of some other person we want to talk about. And suddenly, when I think of those terms, I also think of, New York Governor Cuomo. Oh, Planned Parenthood is even after him now. Have you heard? Stand by.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And I just wanted to ask you, with all these calls in the last couple of days calling for your resignation, is today, since you've been gone for about a week, is this your way of saying, I'm certainly not resigning?
Look, some politicians will always play politics, right? That's the nature of the beast. I don't think today is a day for politics. I wasn't elected by politicians. I was elected by the people of the state of New York. I'm not going to resign. I work for the people of the state of New York. They elected me, and I'm going to serve the people of the state of New York.
And, of course, that was part of the news conference Andrew Cuomo held yesterday. I'm not going to resign. Keep in mind that he's been under serious questions about handling the nursing home cases in his state, sending people basically to a death chamber at a nursing home, and then also hiding the numbers of those who had died. But all of that just didn't raise to the level that now three different women would come forward and claim that he was inappropriate with them, touching, leaning over, kissing when they didn't want, things of that nature. And so he did that yesterday and thought maybe put it to rest, right? And in fact, he has since said, I'm at a lot of events where I kind of lean forward and lean into a person, be it man or woman, give them a kiss. And there's a picture of him leaning forward to kiss Reverend Sharpton on the cheek. Yep, yeah, he can prove it. And, of course, he said all of those who are calling for my resignation, all this, he said they're playing a political game and I'm above politics. You are above politics? Give me a break. But did he get his message across? Was it successful? I want to share a comment from Andrew C. McCarthy, a piece he wrote after that press conference. But before that, the New York affiliate of Planned Parenthood tweeting out, "At Planned Parenthood, we trust and believe those who come forward to hold accountable people who have abused their power. And if this is political, it comes from the Planned Parenthood." The executive director saying Governor Cuomo should resign today. Are you listening, Governor Cuomo? That's not a political statement. That's from Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood. And the Women's March executive director on social media said that Cuomo's alleged conduct is, quote, despicable, from anyone in any job, but coming from the highest office in New York, it's disqualifying. Now, yes, you could say Planned Parenthood and Women's March are political. They are, but they're, quote, not politicians to that extent. But he wants you to believe it's all political. It's all political. Otherwise, I've been doing a perfectly good job. Well, as I said, I want to read a comment that was written by Andrew McCarthy. Andrew C. McCarthy, I should point out. Andrew C. McCarthy, columnist for National Review, served as an assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. He is a Republican, so I always want to give you the balance, make you sure you understand the source. I never try to hide that from you. I want you to know the source. Then you make your own judgment. Here's what he wrote in an opinion for Fox News. He said, top Democrats come to assume the press is there to clean up their messes, not subject their commentary to journalistic skepticism and follow-up investigations. When you get used to not being called on the nonsense, you spout more nonsense. And he said, that is why Cuomo's root problem is not sexual harassment, nor is it cooking the books on nursing home deaths. It is, and please listen to this, because I guarantee you he nailed it, it is that the left has turned on Cuomo. The guy who was born into Democrat prominence, married into Kennedy royalty, embraced by the Clintons, now has to sink or swim on his own. It's not his strong suit. McCarthy's final lines in his opinion piece. The governor's apology was duly emotive. He even affected getting choked up. But it hurts him legally. That price might be worth paying if the apology helped him politically. It won't. Its insincerity was too transparent. Its credibility further undermined by remarks that were, by turn, incoherent and laughable. Well written, Andrew C. McCarthy. Sincerity too transparent. I've often told folks, you want to make it in TV news lately? If you can fake sincerity, you'll be good. In the next segment, the threat to our nation and how those members on the left despise the USA.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think what they've done is a very calculating and I think cynical ploy, which is they've given up on keeping the House. What they're doing is ramming through everything they can get done before they lose in 2022. So this is kind of a sprint to radicalism, even though it's going to cost. If you look at these votes in the House, you got 30, 40, 50 members who are not going to be able to go home and defend them. They're not going to be able to explain it. And I think that the Biden-Harris model is, we're going to lose the House anyway. We might as well grab everything we can while we got the power.
That makes sense. It does make sense. That is former GOP House Chair Newt Gingrich. He said they already are beginning to fear 2022. They do not think they're going to be able to hold the House come 2022. And they might not hold the Senate either. So Biden, or probably by that time Harris, will be in the Oval Office. But if they don't have control of either House, or certainly both houses, then they are in big trouble. And the stuff they are ramming through, as he said, they're rushing forward to grab all they can and run with it. It's like you put a bowl of candy out for trick-or-treaters because you can't answer the door all the time, or maybe you're taking your kids around the neighborhood. And you put a sign with it, please take one and share with others, you know, or just take one, leave for others. and some kid comes along and grabs a whole bowl and dumps it in a pillowcase and runs off. Get all I can. And when they start passing, as they did, the H.R. 1 voting bill and the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package, which does not deal with actually COVID except for maybe 10% of it, that's what they're doing. And as Gingrich pointed out, they're going to have some of these representatives that have to go back and try to explain to their constituents. He said the Democrats lost 54 seats in 1994, and we became the majority for the first time in 40 years because their party suffered huge losses in their first midterm election after Clinton got in. They did again when Obama was elected midterm. They lost 63 seats. And he said, right now, you've got 30, 40, 50 members in the House, Democrats, who are not going to be able to go back and defend what they're doing when it comes to their constituency. In their own districts, they're going to be told, I don't think so. That's not what we wanted. You're hurting us. You're hurting everything. Oh, there'll be some that will like it, of course. But one Democrat has already said, no, I see. I fully agree. This is not a good idea. And one of them that is taking that stance and did actually vote no against H.R. 1 yesterday was a co-sponsor of the legislation. Democrat Congressman Benny Thompson of Mississippi, the only Democrat voting no against this massive voting rights election reform legislation. He was a co-sponsor along with the rest of the Democrat caucus. But he's saying today that my constituents weren't going to support this election overhaul, so I stand with them rather than my Democrat colleagues. My God, here's a guy who's answering to his constituents, a Democrat. He said, my constituents oppose redistricting portion of the bill and the section on public finances, and I always listen and vote in the interest of my constituents. Now, you know, when you go to Congress or for any elected office, you get there by telling the constituents, this is what I'm going to do for you. What do you want? I'll make it happen. But then sometimes when you're there and you're really trying to do what's right and you realize, you know, I can't really support what they wanted. I'm going to have to go against the will of my constituents and just take my chance the next election. Or in this case, Democrat Benny Thompson, who helped co-sponsor the very bill that every Democrat voted for except for him, said, my constituents don't want this. I'm not going to support it. So he's going to always vote what the constituents want as opposed to what he thinks they want or should want. This H.R. 1, we talked about this the other day. Keep in mind now, we spent a lot of time on it yesterday with Zach Smith, the Heritage Foundation. They call it, in the Democrats, in their language, the way they title it, For the People Act. Listen, let me tell you something. Anytime Democrats suddenly start talking about for the people, they don't mean for the people. They mean for us, not you. By the same token, they talk about, you know, masking everybody, closing restaurants down for all of you. But we're different, so we can do what we want. Excellent example, Governor California and others. So anyway, the Democrat-led House did pass that legislation on party lines, except for the vote no from House Democrat Congressman I mentioned to you, Benny Thompson of Mississippi. Hans von Spakovsky, who's with the Heritage Foundation, says that this bill, if it passes, it puts in so many terrible provisions. It would vastly reduce the power of states to control and operate elections at the local level. It's a federal micromanagement of the election system. It's everything that folks on the left want to reduce integrity and security for the election process. He said, in fact, if you're a state like Alabama or Texas and you have a voter ID law, forget it. This federal law will override all state voter IDs so they'll be unenforceable. Congressman Mo Brooks, Republican of Alabama, said, this is the, quote, Socialist Democrat Election Fraud Enhancement Act. He said he even requires states to restore the ability to felons to vote the moment they're out of prison, regardless of uncompleted parole, probation, or restitution requirements. But they got it passed. They got it passed in the late hours of yesterday. It is a sweeping election reform bill. And if signed into law, it's going to affect multiple aspects of the electoral process and campaign financing. Now, they're going to need 60 votes to overcome a filibuster in the Senate. Democrats currently hold the smallest possible majority, 48 Democrats and two independent senators who caucus with them. And don't forget, if there's a tie, guess who gets to cast the vote? The Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, or Kamala Harris. This is not good. It's not going to be good for our nation. By the way, if you're looking for an election reform bill, let me share with you what happened in Georgia. The Georgia House of Representatives, and I'll reemphasize to you, the vote from the House yesterday still has to go to the Senate, and we'll see what happens there. But the Georgia House of Representatives passed a bill that would reform a range of election rules, including absentee voting, voter ID for absentee voting, time limits for voting. It's a 66-page bill. It passed the Republican majority on a party-line vote, 97-72, now headed to the state Senate in Georgia for further debate. And what it does is, again, try to impose some kind of requirement that you have to identify who you are. But it still has in it something that I find absolutely unbelievable, in the sense that if you don't have a driver's license or anything else like that, you can bring in a current utility bill. Say, this is me where I live. That's not verification of anything. You can pick up a utility bill laying on the sidewalk or out of someone's trash can and carry it in and say, I don't have an ID, but I got this utility bill. That's not verification. But at least in Georgia, they're trying to clean up some of the problems they got and shut down various pieces of legislation and drop boxes that have been abused by Democrats. And then, of course, we get the COVID bill, the $1.9 trillion COVID bill. Again, another example of how Gingrich says this proves that Democrats despise America. Listen to what's in this thing.
Just take the $1.9 trillion political pork bill, which is not a COVID bill, only 9% of it's COVID. The other 91% is just political pork. That bill has more radicalism in it than the 8 years of Clinton and the 8 years of Obama combined. Just that one bill. And you're going to see wave after wave. I describe it as a flood tide of radicalism.
That's pretty much what it's going to be. I mean, they've got so many green energy things in there, money to bail out the states, do this, do that. Oh, you, the individual, yeah, we'll get something in there for you, and you'll get it at some point. Some of that money won't be spent for another year plus, and we still have about $1 trillion from previous that has not been spent. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri has his view of this COVID package.
Listen, if Joe Biden really wants to do more, why doesn't he focus his COVID relief package on vaccine distribution actually put the brunt of the package there? Instead, he's spending hundreds of millions of dollars on stuff like abortion providers and environmental justice. That shows you where his priorities are.
It does show. They've got money in there for abortion providers and environmentalists. What does that have to do with COVID? Not a damn thing. And you know it, and I know it, and they know it. But they don't care. Because as Gingrich said in that opening bite, they don't just want to change America. They despise America, many of them. Coming up in the next segment, let me give you initials. BLM and NBA. And no, it's not the same story. Oh, and you also can put in the Chinese Communist Party, CCP. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As we reported a few days ago, Black Lives Matter is trying to be, they say, transparent with their funding. And they've been talking about how much money they raised, and supposedly we're being told the truth of what they raised. I don't know if anyone's done a double audit of it, but they are claiming under the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, according to the AP, Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation is the umbrella organization for BLM. It brought in just over $90 million last year, ended last year with more than $60 million in cash. Now, they claim they committed about $22 million to Black Lives Matter chapters and other black-led organizations. And other chapters were apparently notified they're eligible for a $500,000 grant. But some of those chapters and others say, we're not seeing the money and we should be seeing more. And I've raised the question all the time. With all that money that came in, why aren't you spending it to help improve communities? Why aren't you spending it to help some of these people in businesses in these communities? And then here comes this. Michael Brown Sr. and Ferguson movie activist Tony Russell, founder of the International Black Freedom Alliance, now demanding $20 million from Black Lives Matter. Of course, it was Brown's son, Michael Brown Jr., the 18-year-old, shot in the city in 2014 that prompted all this in the wave of Black Lives Matter demonstrations. Brown says, despite the protest movement's massive haul, I only got $500. And now he and activist Tory Russell, I said Tony, Tory Russell, said, we hold Black Lives Matter accountable. What kind of movement are we building when we say Black Lives Matter, but the freedom fighters and families are left behind? Well, we'll see how BLM begins to respond to that. I don't, you know, the money being paid, I don't know what Michael Brown Sr. said. He just received $500. I mean, what amount of money, I'm just going to have to ask this, I'm sorry. What amount of money would replace the loss of your son? What kind of money do you want? Because that's the way I see that. I remember when my girls were born and I was buying life insurance for them and I bought the minimum package. The insurance guy is saying, hey, you know, you're going to need more than $10,000 if something happens to one of the girls. And, you know, I said, you know what? I'm not making money on my children's death. I just want the money to cover the essential for a funeral. Not only want to have to spend that, but I, or have that, but I'm not looking to make money on the death of my children. I'm not saying Michael Brown Sr. has that intent. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying this is not trying to go after an entity that you consider was involved in your son's death. This is just, they collected money using my son's name. I want it. I want to share. That's what I said. You have a different opinion, you're certainly entitled. In the meantime, you know, the NBA is very big. The NBA is very big about getting into China. They've been funding all of these programs and schools. And remember, we've heard numerous reports of inhumane practices, the students at these NBA schools being beaten and not being treated right, or maybe even sexually molested. The NBA just kind of being quiet about it. Well, here's another issue right in the face of the NBA. Do you remember the NBA canceled its 2017 All-Star Game scheduled for Charlotte, North Carolina, because the state had a bathroom law that restricted use of state-run bathrooms to people's birth gender? You can't go in the women's if you were born male, or the other way around either. The NBA chiefs at the time said that's a bright line test for a boycott of the state. And he said gay and transgender rights are core values of the league. Well, what are they saying now? A Chinese court has ruled that homosexuality is a psychological disorder. LGBT activists in China have slammed the rulings, calling them random and baseless. But it's a psychological disorder? The NBA, what its comment is? No comment at this point. And you want to talk about just throwing terms around just inciting? Are you aware what Joy Reid did on her program, far-left MSNBC host? She tweeted out the conservatives would all love to openly say the N-word. She said people on the right would trade all the tax cuts for the ability to openly say the N-word like in the good old days. She doesn't know me, and she doesn't know the nation's conservatives. Now, would there be some that like that? Maybe. But that's just an absolute slur and slander, and so much for Joe Biden's unity. I've told you before, it's not unity. They want uniformity. Coming up in the next hour, Joe Biden saying the Texas governor is a Neanderthal. As I said earlier, it takes one to know one, I would guess. And also Dr. Rick Lehman joining us with a COVID update on vaccine issues and protocol for sports. And the Eyes of Texas, the University of Texas fight song, under challenge again. Then you'll want to hear what a small Baptist liberal arts college did in Virginia. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.